Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Chapter 13. Prakriti Purusha Vivek Yoga. The distinction between matter and spirit. Arjuna uvacha prakritim purusham chaiva ketram ketra jnanam eva cha etad vedditum icchami jnanam gyan chakeshava. Arjuna uvacha prakritim purusham chaiva ketram ketra jnanam eva cha etad vedditum icchami jnanam gyan cha Keshava. Arjuna said, O Keshava, I would like to know about material nature, the person, the field, the knower of the field, knowledge, and the object of knowledge. Sri Bhagavan uvacha idam shariram kunteya ketamiti abhidiyate ettadyo vetitam prahu ketragya ititad bidha. Sri Bhagavan uvacha idam shariram kunteya ketramitya vidiyate ettadyo vetitam prahu ketragya ititad bidha. The Supreme Lord said, O Arjun, this body is known as the field. One who knows this field is described by the learned as the knower of the field. Ketra gyan chapi mam vidhi sarva ketre shubharata ketra ketra gyano gyanam yadtat gyanam matam mama. Ketra gyan chapi mam vidhi sarva ketre shubharata ketra ketra gyanam yat tajjnanam matam mama. O Bharat, you should also know me as the knower of all fields. This knowledge of the field and of the knower of the field is true knowledge in my opinion. Tatketram yachcha yadrich cha yadvikari jatascha yat satcho yo yat prabhavascha tatsama sename srinu. Tatketram yachcha yadrikcha yadvikari yatascha yat satcho yo yat prabhavascha tatsama senume srinu. Now hear from me briefly what this field is, its constitution, transformations, causes and effects, and who the knower of the field is, and of his potency. Rishabhir Bahuda Gitam Chandobhir Vividha Pritak Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Hetumadbir Vinischitai. Rishabhir Bahuda Gitam Chandobhir Vividha Pritak Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Hetumadbir Vinischitai. This has been taught in many ways by various sages, the different Vedas and the aphorisms of the Brahma Sutra with its conclusive logic. Mahabhutanyan hankaro buddhira vyaktameva cha indriyani dasaikan cha pancha chendriya gochara. Mahabhutanyan hankaro buddhira vyaktameva cha indriyani dasaikan cha pancha chendriya gochara. Iccha dvesha sukham dukham sangachas chetana driti etat ketram samasena sa vikaram udaritam. Iccha dvesha sukham dukham sangachas chetana driti etat ketram samasena savikaram udaritam. The five primary elements of ether, air, fire, water, and earth, ego, intelligence, and the unmanifest material nature, the ten senses, the mind, and the five objects of the senses, likes, dislikes, happiness, unhappiness, the aggregate, consciousness, and determination. All these are summarily known as the field and its transformations. Amanittam adambitvam ahingsakantir arjavam acharyopasanam socham starjamatma vinigraha amanittam adambitvam ahingsakantir arjavam acharyopasanam socham starjam atma vinigraha indriyateshu vairagam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam indriyateshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam Ashaktir anabhav ishvanagha putradara grihadishu nityancha samachittatvam istanishto to papatishu Ashaktir anabhishvanagha putradara grihadishu nityancha samachittatvam istanishto papatishu Mayi channanyo yogena bhaktir avya bicharani vivikta desha sevitvam aratir janasamsadi Mayi channaya yogena bhaktir avya bicharani vivikta desha sevitvam aratir janasamsadi Anyatma jnana nityatvam tatva janartha darshanam etad jnanam ito proktam ajnanam yadato nyata adyatma jnana nityatvam tatva janartha darshanam etad jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yadato nyata Desirelessness for honour, pridelessness, non-violence, forbearance, honesty, service to the spiritual master, purity, stability, self-control, detachment from the objects of the senses, absence of egoism, awareness of the miseries of birth, disease, old age and death, worldly detachment, absence of doting on children, wife, home, etc., constant equanimity in desirable or undesirable circumstances, undeviating pure devotion to me, residing in a solitary place, indifference to mundane association, constancy in self-knowledge, and the vision of the goal of true knowledge, all these qualities have been said to denote knowledge. Anything contrary to this is to be considered ignorance. Gyeyam yattat pravakshyami yajyaka vrittam ashnute anadimat param brahma nasattan nascad ucchate Gyeyam yattat pravakshyami yajyatva mritam ashnute anadimat param brahma nasattan nascad ucchate Now I shall describe the object of knowledge realizing which one attains the nectar of life. Resting in me, it is known as Brahma, eternal, neither being nor non-being. Sarvata pani padam tat sarvato ki shiromukam sarvata srutima loke sarvam avrityatistati sarvata pani padam tat Sarvato ki shiromukam Sarvata srutima loke Sarvam avrityatistati Everywhere are his hands and feet. Everywhere are his eyes, heads, mouths, and ears. He pervades the entire universe as the Supersoul. Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, Ashaktam Sarvabrichchaiva, Nirgunam Gunabhoktircha. Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, Ashaktam Sarvabrichchaiva, Nirgunam Gunabhoktircha. He who illuminates all the senses and their functions, yet he is without material senses. He is completely aloof to everything, yet he is the maintainer of all, Vishnu. He is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, yet he is the Lord of all qualities. Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charameva cha shukshmatvatat avigyayam durashtam chantike chatat. Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charameva cha sumukshvadevrakenam durastam chantike chatat. He is situated within and without all moving and stationary beings, near yet far, subtle, and therefore most difficult to comprehend. Avibhaktam chabuteshu vaibhaktam eva chastitam bhuttapatra chataj gyeyam grashishnu prabhavishnu cha. Avibhaktam chabuteshu vibhaktam eva chastitam bhuttapatra chataj gyeyam grashishnu prabhavishnu cha. Although indivisible, he appears as divided in all beings. He is to be known as the one who manifests, maintains, and devours all beings. Jyotisham apitaj jyotish tamasha paramuchate jnanam gyeyam jnanagamyam riddhi sarvashadishtitam. Jyotisham apitaj jyotish tamasha paramuchate jnanam gyeyam jnanagamyam riddhi sarvashadishtitam. He is known as the illuminator of the luminaries, beyond darkness. Situated in the hearts of all beings, he is knowledge, the object of knowledge, reached by knowledge. Iti ketram tata jnanam gyeyam choktam samasata madbhakta etadvigyaya madbhavayo papadyate. Iti ketram tata jnanam gyeyam choktum samasata madbhakta etadvigyaya madbhavayo papadyate. The field, knowledge, and the object of knowledge have been briefly described by me. Realizing these truths, my devotee attains love for me. Prakritim purushan chaiva vividyanadi ubhavapi vikarams cha gunams chaiva viddhi prakriti sambhavan. Prakritim purushan chaiva vidyanadi ubhavapi vikrams cha gunams chaiva viddhi prakriti sambhavan. Know that both material nature, Maya, and the person, individual soul, are beginningless. And know that the transformations, body, senses, and their functions, and the transformations of the modes of nature, such as pleasure, pain, sorrow, and delusion, are born of material nature. Karya karana kartavye hetu prakriti ruchate purusha sukadukanam bhoktrite hetu ruchate karya karana kartritve hetu prakriti ruchate purusha sukadukanam bhoktrite hetu ruchate. Material nature is said to be the cause of the production of effect, the body, and cause, the senses. The person in material bondage is said to be the cause of the condition of being an enjoyer or a sufferer of happiness and unhappiness. Purusha prakritir sti hi stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karanam guna sangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. Being situated within material nature, a person enjoys the modes born of material nature. His attachment to these modes is the cause of his repeated births in higher and lower species. Upadrashtanu manta cha bartabokta maheshara parametmeti chopyukto dehesmin purusho para. Upadrashtanu manta cha bartabokta maheshara paramadmeti chapyukto dehesmin purusho para. The Supreme Person, the Witness, Sanctioner, Support, Guardian, and Almighty Lord within this body is known as Paramatma, the Supersoul. Ya evam veti purusham prakritin cha gunai saha sarvata vartmano pina sabuyo vijayate. Ya evam veti purusham prakritin cha gunai saha sarvata vartmano pina sabuyo vijayate. Thus, one who truly knows the Supreme Person and material nature with its modes will never in any circumstance have to take birth again. Dhyane natmani pasyanti kechidatmanamadmana anye sankhyena yogena karma yogena chapare. Dhyane natmani pasyanti kechidatmanamadmana anya sankhena yogena karma yogena chapare. With their pure consciousness, some persons see the Supersoul within the heart in their meditation. Others perceive him through enlightenment, and yet others by the yoga of selfless actions. Anye tvaivam ajananta srutvanyebha upasate tepi chatitarantyeva mrityam sruti parayana. Anye tvaivam ajananta srinvanyebha upasate tepi chatitarantyeva mrityam sruti parayanaha. Further, there are those who, not knowing of these methods, engage in worship by hearing the scriptures. When their faith is deepened by such hearing, they too surpass the mortal plane. Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam stavara jangamam ketra ketra gya samyogyat tadvidhi bharatashava. Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam stavara jangamam ketra ketra gya samyogat tadvidhi bharatarshava. O Arjun, best of the Bharatas, whatever is born in the world, whether moving or stationary, know it to be manifest from the combination of the field and its knower. Samam sarve shubhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinashyat svav avinashyantam japasyati sapasyate. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinashyat svav avinashyantam japasyati sapasyate. One who sees the Supreme Lord situated equally within all beings as the imperishable within the perishable, such a person sees perfectly. Samam pasyan hi sarvatra samavastittam isharam nahinnastyatmanatmanam tato jati param gatim. samam pasyansi sarvatra samavastitam isharam nahinnastyatmanatmanam tato jati param gatim. Such a person with the vision of equality, seeing the Lord dwelling in every place alike, does not deceive himself, and thus he attains the supreme destination. Prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha japaschati tatatmanam akartaram sapasyati. Prakrityaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvasha japaschati tatatmanam akartaram sapasyati. He who sees that all actions are brought about only by material nature sees himself as the non-doer. Jadabhuta pritak bhavam ekastam anupasyati tatta eva cha vishtaram brahma sampadyate tada. Jadabhuta pritak bhavam ekastam anupasyati tatta eva cha vishtaram brahma sampadyate tada. When such an enlightened person realizes that the different types of beings are situated within the one nature and that all are made manifest from that nature, he attains realization of Brahman. Anaditvam nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyaya sharirasto pikunteya nakaroti nalipyate. Anaditvam nirgunatvat paramatmayam avyaya sharirasto pikunteya nakaroti nalipyate. O Arjuna, since the Supersoul is beginningless, transcendental and inexhaustible, although also present within the field with the individual soul, he neither acts nor is affected by any action. Jata sarva gatam sokshmyad akasam nopalipyate sarvatra vastito dehe tatatma nopilapyate. Jata sarva gatam sokshmyad akasam nopalipyate sarvatra vastito dehe tatatma nopalipyate. As the most subtle element of space pervades everything, yet is not tainted by anything, similarly the soul, though pervading the body, is not tainted by it. Jata prakashayatyeka krishnam lokam imam ravhi ketram ketri tata krishnam prakashayati bharata. Jata prakashayatyeka krishnam lokam imam ravi ketram ketri tata krishnam prakashayati bharata. O Bharat, as the one sun illuminates the entire world, the occupier of the field illuminates the entire field. Ketra ketra gyano evam antaram gyana chakshusa bhuta prakriti mokshancha ye vidhur jantite param. Ketra ketra gyano evam antaram gyana chakshusa bhuta prakriti mokshancha ye vidhur jantite param. Those who, through the eyes of knowledge, can thus distinguish between the field and the knower of the field, and who can thus know the path of liberation of the living beings from material nature, such persons attain the Supreme. Iti Sri Mahabharate Satasahasrayam Samhitayam Vaishasikyam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishad Subrahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Prakriti Parusha Viveka Yoga Namo Trayodasho Jayaha. End of the chapter 13, Distinction between Matter and Spirit, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge, in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the Holy Scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses. Jai. So, here in chapter 13, Krishna is discussing many things which have already been discussed, but now with some, you can say, in a more technical way. First of all, Arjuna asks Krishna to describe six things. Prakriti and Purusha. Ketra, Ketragya, Gyan and Gyayam. That means Prakriti, means the Maya or material nature. And Purusha, the enjoyer. Ketra. Ketra means the field of activities. And Ketragya, the knower of that field. And then Gyanam, what is knowledge. And Gyayam, what is to be known. And Krishna begins his response by explaining what is Ketra and what is Ketragya. So Ketra means the field of activities, or that means our body. Because that is our body, each one of us has a body, and our body is our field of activities, going on within that and by extension outside of that. And the Ketragya is the knower of that field, or the soul within the body. But Krishna says, but I am also Ketragya. So that means we are, you can say, the knower of our body, but Krishna knows all fields of activities. We are confined to the knowledge of our own self, but Krishna, he knows what we know and so much more. He knows everything. So he is really Ketragya, actually. In the true sense of the world, the absolute sense of the word, Krishna is Ketragya, and he knows all Ketras, all fields of activities, whereas we are confined to our own field of activity. As someone once said, we are the king of our skull kingdom, the kingdom of our skull. We are limited to our own sphere, our sphere of our thought and our activity. But Krishna, he knows everything. Ourself and also outside of ourself. And he explains Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti is the material energy, in short, the Maya. And the Purusha is who enjoys with Maya, or tries to enjoy with Maya. So we are, in this sense, it is referring to the soul, the Purusha, not the Parama Purusha, but the Purusha we are, the individual soul, and we are trying to enjoy with Prakriti. And when Prakriti and Purusha combine together, everything is created in this material world by that action. And Krishna explains, whatever exists in this material world is a combination of Prakriti and Purusha. And that is also the cause of the living being's bondage in this material world, his attachment to and desire to enjoy with the Prakriti. So we are the cause of our own bondage by our tendency to exploit. To exploit others and to exploit objects, both. And the sensations that arise from that, happiness, pain, attachment and so on, they're all a product of that, of this combining the Prakriti with the Purusha. Excuse me. And both, Krishna explains, both are eternal. The living being, the Purusha, is eternal, and Prakriti is also eternal. But there is also a third element there, and that is the Parama Purusha, or the Supersoul. The Supersoul living alongside of the individual soul, the Jivatma, as the witness and sanctioner of everything. Then Krishna explains that knowledge, what he considers as knowledge, and it is quite interesting that Krishna describes 20 qualities, the foremost of which is humility. And if you study those qualities, you'll see, finally Krishna says, those who possess these qualities, this I consider to be knowledge. And anything else, anything contrary to this, is ignorance. So from this we can understand that knowledge isn't just about retaining facts, but rather knowledge is about developing your inner character. And Krishna says this is real knowledge. And foremost of those is to be humble, to show humility and practice humility. And Mahaprabhu, similarly, he has taught us, Janada Pisu Niche Na Tarari Vasu Suhishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that if you want to chant the holy name of the Lord, if you want your chanting to be successful, to be fruitful in the transcendental meaning of the word, if you want your chanting to be successful and fruitful, then you must practice humility, tolerance, and giving honor to others. And this is not a mundane prescription, it is Mahaprabhu's own prescription. And at the same time, not expecting any honor for ourselves or any respect for ourselves. Then the result of that is one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Actually, it is the essential prerequisite for chanting Harinam is to practice these threefold instructions: humility, tolerance, and giving honor to others. It is most essential. In fact, you cannot get the result of chanting Harinam without those, developing these qualities. And developing these qualities necessarily means to practice them as the sadhana. This is our real sadhana, actually. Our real sadhana is to be humble, to be tolerant, and to give honor to others. This is not also some artificial imposition. You know, Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he was heard to say, too much humility is the sign of a thief. So that means like unnatural humility, that cloying kind of, you know, like in, what's that book by Charles Dickens, David Copperfield. There's a character in there, his name is Uriah Heep. And he's very humble and he's always, you know, bowing and scraping to everyone. But behind that facade of humility, he's always plotting and scheming. So we can understand, too much humility is the sign of a thief. I have some ulterior motive. So humility needs to be real. And Sridhar Maharaj, he said a few things, many things about humility, but one is that humility means to be free of the desire to enjoy. If you still have the desire to enjoy, you cannot actually have real humility. Real humility means the absence of the enjoying spirit. Now that's quite a high level understanding of humility. But humility also means, another time Srila Guru Maharaj said, humility means proper adjustment. So to adjust ourselves with the environment. Not to try to oppose the environment, but to try to harmonize with the environment. And humility means to submit oneself to the Sadguru or to the Vaishnava. That is a difficulty. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's written that anyone who has a Western education, they will not like the idea of submitting themselves to another person. Submitting themselves. Because we are taught, you know, think independently and think, you know, not to submit yourself to anyone. So it is almost against our cultural upbringing to submit ourselves. But it is entirely necessary for progress in spiritual life that we should be submissive to the truth. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to be submissive to this person or that person. And I remember one lady, she was very confused. She was serving in our mot, And at that time, two sannyasis were residing there. And one sannyasi telling her to do this, and another sannyasi telling her to do that. Like conflicting instruction. You should do this, and the other one saying, no, you should do this. So what shall she do? Who shall she follow? So she doesn't know. She has respect for both. So she came to Guru Maharaj and she explained her predicament. This one's telling one thing and this one's telling another thing, and sometimes they're opposite things. Then what should I do? And Guru Maharaj said, you must conceive that you are not a servant of A, B, C or D, but you are a servant of Mahaprabhu. So to be a servant of Mahaprabhu means to follow Mahaprabhu's teaching. And what is in line with Mahaprabhu's teaching, that we will follow. That, to that we will be submissive. And when Vaishnavas have some disagreement or different idea, Srila Sridhar Maharaj said it is two causes. One is that because of Leela, that means in the higher sense, the higher Vaishnavas, as it says, so sometimes there's conflict in the Leela of Krishna. Like those in the Vatsalya Rasa, like Mother Jashoda. Mother Jashoda is very eager. Krishna will have a good night's sleep. You know, he's going out cowherding all day, then he needs to get his sleep and like that. But those in the Madhura Rasa section, the cowherd girls, they want to take him out dancing all night. So there's a conflict, you see. So then there's some disagreement between those parties. So a higher Vaishnava is depending on their position in Leela, they may give different teaching or seemingly conflicting idea. But that is Leela. And that is a rare thing, of course. That is, we're talking about the higher Vaishnavas. But those who are not situated on that platform, then the reason for a difference in their opinions is due to anartha. This is the other reason. Because of our own prejudices and our own conditioning, that is also coming across. Sometimes even in the Vaishnava. So the Vaishnava also may give conflicting instruction because of that. So that doesn't mean that they're not qualified. But the qualification for a Vaishnava to teach is when we will submit to the inspired side of the Vaishnava. That which is in line with the teachings and the achar, both achar and prachar, given by Sriman Mahaprabhu. What he taught and how he behaved, if it is in line with that, we can accept that. Must be in line with that. And sometimes some differences, we can disregard that. So, this is actually, Krishna says, this is what constitutes real transcendental knowledge. And then gyayam. Gyayam means what is to be known by that knowledge. So again, it is not just the retention of facts and figures or this or that, but it is the what is to be known is the super soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are to know Him. We are to be able to understand the difference between an interrelation of all of these things. Prakriti and Purusha, Ketra, Ketra Gya, Gyanam and Gyayam. These six things Krishna has explained. What is to be known is the Supreme Lord. Krishna says, who knows that Supreme Indwelling Soul, the Paramatma? He attains love for me. And some know Him by meditation, and some know Him by inner awakenment, and some know Him by the practice of the yoga of selflessness. That means nishkama karma yoga. By various methods. He says even those who don't follow any of those methods, you can say, those who hear my glories by hearing the scripture, they also can attain to that position. And he says, who differentiates between these, who can see the difference between these and the interrelated nature of these? They have perfect vision, Krishna says. They have perfect vision. They see, situated in all living beings, the Supersoul equally is the present there. And also they understand that without deceiving themselves, they understand that whatever takes place in this material world is actually only the interaction of the material elements. And the soul, because the soul is in a dormant state, the soul actually doesn't do anything. So in this way they know themselves as the non-doer. But it's important what Krishna says, not deceiving themselves. Because if you deceive yourself, you can say, whatever I do, it's okay, because I'm not doing it, it's only the combination of material elements. It's only the interaction of Prakriti and Purusha. My own self is transcendental to that. Whatever I do, it's nothing to do with me. So that means, that's why Krishna says, without deceiving yourself to understand this. And also, within that, the Paramatma, also, he, although he witnesses everything, he's not also not affected by any action taken by us. So how is it then that we can act, and but at the same time understand that it is not us acting, but only the material nature that's acting? So it's something like when you play a computer game. You know, you're playing the computer game and you're going through all the levels and you're killing this one, and sometimes you're being killed and everything, you know, but you, the actual player of the game, you're not affected by that. You're different from that, those activities that are going on. But due to your identification with that or not, you'll be affected by that. So, you know, like sometimes it's like that, right? That you get, when people are playing these computer games, they get so absorbed in it, they can't, like, come away from it. I read about a boy in Germany that he was so addicted to computer games that he never came out of his room, and his mother had to leave his food outside the door, and he never came down, he never went, and finally they cut off his internet connection. And he tried to kill his mother and father as a result of that. And, you know, ended up going into the mental asylum. So, you know, I read a very interesting article in the New York Times recently where it's saying that all of this, you know, addiction, it's a very real addiction. It's like digital heroin, you know, that people get so addicted to it. And especially harmful for young children. You know, people buy their kids, iPads and things, and like, and so they, and PlayStations and all this, and like, put them away. They just like get on. They're not disturbing us anymore, you know. They just like get on with that, and we don't have to worry about them and they're on that. But it's actually very bad for their development, because they're not mature enough to be able to deal with that properly. So it becomes very addictive and very harmful, like any addiction in this material world. So, similarly, you know, when you see those pixelated images on the screen, sometimes we do identify with that, you know. We know people identify with the computer game that they're playing, and they get so engrossed in that they forget themselves. And sometimes, you know, like, we know, especially young people, they can go like the whole weekend, day and night. Day and night, giving that, trying to get, you know, get to the next level or whatever it is. So, you know, this is like in our material life, we are identifying with the Maya, with the illusory environment, with the Prakriti, and attached to the sensations that we have by engaging with the Prakriti, become attached to that, and at the same time completely captivated by that. We are the cause of our enjoyment and our suffering. But actually the soul is not touched by that. The soul is not affected by that. But at the same time, we become more and more covered by that. So this, although the soul is not touched, you can say it is covered. Just like when you're asleep, and in deep sleep, you yourself are not affected, but so many things going on in your dream, and as much as you identify with that.
How does the soul learn if it's not affected?
By connection with the soul world. So through that, although you can say the soul is in a sleeping or dormant state, still, the spiritual vibration can reach him. Just like when we're in a deep sleep, someone can wake us from that deep sleep if their vibration is, you know, maybe they shout or shake us or something. It's told like that sometimes, right? Somebody in a coma, nothing can get them out of the coma, but their friends come in and they sing like the person's favorite song or something. And that reaches them. Somehow, you know, that reaches into their consciousness. They get that and they wake up. You know, something that touches them at a deeper level. So, similarly, now our soul is in that dormant, sleeping state. But the vibrations, the spiritual vibration, coming from the transcendental world, it has the power to reach the soul and to, you know, awaken the soul, activate the soul. One in Sanskrit, that's called udipanam. Udipanam, like enlightenment. You know, the soul becomes enlightened, wakes up. Udipanam, a very nice word.
So nothing else can touch it, just spiritual.
Yeah, the soul can only be touched by spirit. The soul, because it's spiritual, nothing material can touch it.
It's covered by spirit.
But it can be covered by matter, just, and that's described in the Gita like a mirror covered by dust, or the soul, embryo covered by the womb. You know, so there are different levels of different types of covering over the soul. But those coverings are only temporary, and they are not connected with us. We think that all of the things, or all of our experiences in this material world, that they're indelibly connected with us. They become part of who we are, fused with us. But actually it's not so. It's only a matter of how much we identify with those things. As much as we identify with those things, that much we consider that to be ourself. So we hear that, people say that, especially older people, they say, "Oh, I'm too old now, I can't change my ways. It's who I am," isn't it? That's what people say. "Oh, it's just who I am, I can't change." But it's not true, actually. It's not who you are. It's just who you've identified with. So that means accumulated prejudice and accumulated conditioning from our association with the Maya Prakriti. Those things have formed our present physical and mental bodies. The body, the physical and mental body, is the outward manifestation of the soul's delusion. That's a little bit different for everyone. Some of us are thinking we're a human being, or, you know, some of us are thinking that I'm a rat or I'm a tree or whatever it may be, you know. So whatever body we have and whatever mental state we have, that's the manifestation of the soul's delusion, the outward manifestation of the soul's delusion. Srila Guru Maharaj says that those things are just like mental mushrooms, because mushrooms, although they seem to have some foundation, they actually have no roots. Mushrooms don't have any roots. You know, if you see mushrooms growing somewhere and you take a bucket of water and throw it, they'll just be washed away. So, this is Guru Maharaj's explanation. When Krishna consciousness enters into us, then all of those things, all of those prejudices, all of those misconceptions, all of that conditioning will just float away like mushrooms. We'll see that what we thought was part of who we are is indelibly, as you know, like fused with our being. We'll find out that none of that was true. So, you know, Guru Maharaj says, this is our solace, is that Krishna is a thief. Krishna is a thief, and a thief doesn't require any invitation. So, you know, we may, Guru Maharaj says, we may build up very high walls around our heart to make sure that Krishna doesn't enter there. So, but Krishna is a thief, and stealthily, in the night, he'll enter for his own purpose. And when Krishna enters, then he takes possession of everything, and nothing else can stand in front of him. So, you know, this is like, and Guru Maharaj quotes Caesar, Veni, Vidi, Vici, said, you know, I came, I saw, I conquered. We should allow Krishna this, to come, to see, and conquer us. And this is our solace, actually, that Krishna, he wants to claim us. When Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj, he published The Search for Sri Krishna, and Guru Maharaj was very happy with that, but he said, you've given half the story. The half the story is the search for Sri Krishna. But the other half of the story is the Lord's loving search for his lost servants. So as much as we are, you know, incited to search for Krishna, you know, in the Brahma Sutra is told, you know, that we should search after the spirit, Brahma Jignasho. And Guru Maharaj says, Mahaprabhu has replaced this with Krishna Nushilanam, the search for Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. So, but as much as we, from our side, will attempt that search, from his side also, he's searching for us. When the Lord becomes overwhelmed with that necessity to reclaim the lost souls, then he takes the form of his own devotee and comes as Sri Chaitanya Dev. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya Dev. And Mahaprabhu comes, as Guru Maharaj's expression, with the loving search for the lost servants. He wants to come to rescue us. And actually, sometimes it's said by those with very far-sighted vision that the only reason for this material world, the existence of this material world, is to facilitate Mahaprabhu's leela of rescuing the fallen souls. So we may say it's the prison house for the rebellious souls and so on and so on and so on. That's also true. But ultimately everything exists for the satisfaction of Krishna. So he didn't make this world just so that we would suffer. He would not be satisfied to see his parts and parcels suffering. But rather, he makes this material world so that it facilitates his leela of rescuing the fallen souls. So this is a very wonderful conception. We should not be complacent, though. Oh, we can just wait and then he'll come and save me. Eventually he'll come and save me. And sometimes I've heard devotees say, and I should be as fallen as possible because he always saves the most fallen first. So I should do everything I can to be as fallen as possible. Then my claim will be first. But that philosophy is biting the hand that feeds you. You know, when the hand has already been extended to you, the hand of mercy has been extended to you, we should not bite that hand. But what we have received, we should take that gratefully and try to make our life one with that. Take that opportunity. Take the opportunity that Mahaprabhu has come to give to us through his Sankirtan mission. So, it is a very wonderful thing. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we will become free from attachment to the Maya Prakriti. By cultivating knowledge. But what kind of knowledge? Means the knowledge of Shambandagyan. Sambandha Gyan, it means that which is essential for our spiritual development. Not just knowledge, not just mundane knowledge, and not just knowledge for the sake of knowledge, or, you know, like reading so many books or so many scriptures. Srila Govinda Maharaj says, what is the use of having a Ganges full of knowledge if that knowledge doesn't bring you to the lotus feet of Krishna, to the service of the lotus feet of Krishna? Then the highest devotees, their devotion is called Gyan Shunya Bhakti. Not means devotion above knowledge. That doesn't mean that we should be ignorant, and that because devotion without knowledge is sentimentalism or fanaticism. It'll be one or the other. So we need to cultivate proper, appropriate knowledge. That is called Sambandha. Sambandha. Who is Krishna? What is the soul? What is the world? What is Maya? And what is their interrelation with one another? And who am I? And what is my purpose in life? All of these things, that is called Sambandha Gyan. And when we understand the principle of Sambandha Gyan, from Sambandha Gyan, we will begin Abhideya. Abhideya means the process by which we can realize the Gyan, what is to be known. What is to be known? It is not just by research, but it is by Abhideya, by cultivation. Krishna gives these 20 qualities. By cultivating that, these are higher nature. Then through the process of Abhideya. And what is that process? In this Kali Yuga, it is very simple. Nama Sankirtan. Nama Sankirtan. It means, Nama Sankirtan means to hear about Krishna and to chant about Krishna. Shravanam Kirtanam. These are the first nine of the nine processes of bhakti taught by Prahlad. These are the first. Shravanam Kirtanam. And Mahaprabhu considered the most important. To hear. And first is hearing. First of all, to hear. To hear and to understand. Sambandha Gyan. And then after hearing and understanding, then Kirtanam. Then we will try to share that with others. Kirtanam means to share with others. So that may be by going in the street with mridanga and cartels. That may be by speaking over the internet so people can hear about Krishna's glories. That may be by writing books, publishing books, making so many things. Means in to share Krishna consciousness with others. That is kirtanam. And everything that supports that, sweeping the temple, cooking, driving to the market, all of these things, they're all supporting Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. None of them are less important than any others. When I first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, they used to say, if you go out on book distribution, then you'll become a gopi in Vrindavan in your next life. But if you stay back in the temple and do temple service, you'll be a rock in Vrindavan in your next life. Not like that. And to be a rock in Vrindavan, that is not an ordinary thing. What does Uddhav say? And who is Uddhav? Uddhav is Krishna's dearmost devotee. Krishna said to Uddhav, you are more dear to me than my own self. And more dear to me than Baladev. More dear to me than Lakshmi Devi. You are, Uddhav. And Uddhav, he sent Uddhav to give some message to the gopis. He returned to Vrindavan. He went there. Give some message to them, give some solace to them. And he told them, Krishna's message was, practice yoga. He told them. They were very unhappy with Krishna's message. Anyway, but on return from there, Uddhav told, it is my conclusion that those cowherd girls in Vrindavan, their devotion is so high and so spotless that my aspiration is that if I get the chance in a future life to be born as some grass or a vine or a creeper in Vrindavan, I'll consider that to be perfect. Because maybe one of those cowherd girls, you know, they might trample on me, their lotus feet might trample on me or something like that. This is Uddhava, Krishna's beloved, dearmost devotee. This is his conclusion. What is Shuddha Bhakti? Then, you know, we can't, it is not a game, you know, rock in Vrindavan or peacock in Vrindavan or gopi in Vrindavan. What is that? We do not know anything about that. But we know that everything in Vrindavan is madhura. It is sweet, the sweetest of the sweet in Vrindavan. It means Vrindavan proper. We have some hope for that. And if Uddhava will be satisfied to be a blade of grass, then what will we be? What will we be satisfied with? This is just an aside really, but it is instructive also. When Satsvarup Maharaj, he wrote that biography of Srila Prabhupada, the Prabhupada Lilamrita, maybe you've read it or seen it. Anyway, the second part, which was actually the first part, they first published the second volume, and the first volume, which was called A Lifetime in Preparation, that came out second because they hadn't quite got everything they needed for that, and that was about Prabhupada's life before coming to the West, A Lifetime in Preparation. Then in there. Satsvarup Maharaj wrote some things that Prabhupada said about his godbrothers and things. Actually, he shouldn't have said that, those things. It is not proper etiquette to do that. He could have told without mentioning names, you know, without mentioning people's names. But anyway, he did something there. And one of the things he wrote in there was that, you know, how Prabhupada wanted to go to the West, to America, and he went to his godbrother's temple and asked them, "Will you know, Prabhupada told me to preach in English, I mean Sarasvati Thakur, wanted me to preach in to the English-speaking world, I want to go to America, will you like fund my trip there for preaching like that?" And then his godbrother told, if you serve in our mot for 1 year, we'll consider, like this. So then he says, but Abai, or you know, which was his name then, Prabhupada did not consider that sitting in the temple ringing bells is the proper cultivation of Hari Bhajan, or something like that. This is not the proper cultivation. Anyway, when they published that, they took it to the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Mot, and to offer to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and the deities there. That was the headquarters in Calcutta. So they took it there and they offered. Then after offering, they said, "Can we have it back now?" You know, and the devotees there said, "No, you offered it here. We're keeping it. You can't offer it and then ask for it back." So anyhow, then those devotees read the book. You know, they read it and they were very upset because it was their guru mentioned there, and they said, "Oh, he's telling our guru just ringing bells in the temple." You know. Then they came to Guru Maharaj to like give objection. At that time, Guru Maharaj was he was the head of the Gaudiya Mission at that time. All of the different branches of the Gaudiya Mot, they came to Srila Sridhar Maharaj in his last years and asked him, "Will you be the head?" And Guru Maharaj, after considering, he thought, maybe if it will to serve Prabhupada and to bring all of the different groups together, I will. If they want me to do that, I'll accept. So Guru Maharaj was like that. So they came to Guru Maharaj with the book. Mm-hmm. "You're the head. You know, what's this? You know, why are they printing like this? You know, that is our Gurudev just sitting in the temple ringing bells, you know?" Then Guru Maharaj's response was, "If what Swami Maharaj has done, his kirtan is so great that if he gives you the position of a bell ringer in his kirtan, you should consider yourself highly blessed for that. So this way Guru Maharaj was able to harmonize. Hey, what could they say? They could not argue with that. In his kirtan, if you are given the position of bell ringer in that kirtan, then it is not an ordinary thing. So, this chapter about these things, 13th chapter, about Prakriti and Purusha. So we are little Purusha, with a small p, and Krishna is Parama Purusha. He is actually the real enjoyer, but the cause of our bondage is thinking that we are the enjoyer, the Purusha. We are identified here as Purusha, the individual soul is Purusha, but Purusha with a small p. But when that Purusha understands what is the Ketra, or the field of action, when he understands, then he is the knower, he is Ketra-ga, the knower of that field. When he is able to see that objectively, and then what is knowledge, Jnana, what is knowledge, Krishna is given the summary of that, what he considers to be real knowledge, and Gyayam, what is to be known. And what is to be known is the super soul, the Lord within the heart. And we are to try to cultivate our relationship with him, try to understand who is he and what is our relationship with him. So in Srila Prabhupada's Gita, there he gives a very nice example from the Swateshara Upanishad. There he says that about the two birds sitting in the tree. They were sitting in the tree, and one bird is enjoying the fruits of the tree, tasting the fruits. And sometimes those fruits are sweet, and sometimes those fruits are bitter. And the other bird, just observing, just watching. So this example has been given there, like we are the bird in the tree. The tree being our body or this material world, and we are enjoying, tasting the fruits of this material world, and sometimes, or the experiences of this world, you can say. Sometimes those fruits are very sweet, we cannot deny there is pleasure in this world, naturally. But there is also bitterness in this world, and our experience is that everything becomes bitter finally, however sweet it may be in the beginning. So that other bird in the tree, that is the Paramatma, the super soul, and he is observing everything, witnessing everything, and waiting for us to turn to him. Please you accept me. And as much as we are able to surrender to him, that much we will be free from the influence of this material world. Actually, Krishna says in this chapter, those who understand these principles and the correlation and the differences between them, they never have to take birth in this material world again. So it means to understand doesn't just mean a theoretical knowledge, it means to be able to live by those principles. Live by understanding, but then also to live by that. So eventually, finally, you have to become what you believe. This is important. And one devotee, he met Srila Govinda Maharaj in New York. And he's very famous in the world, this devotee, as a great scholar from the time of Srila Prabhupada. And, then he met with Srila Govinda Maharaj and he had many questions. He's asking Srila Govinda Maharaj many, many questions. And after a few days, Srila Govinda Maharaj said to him, "So, my answers are satisfactory to you or not?" And that Prabhu said, "Oh, more than satisfactory, Maharaj. So, like, most wonderful answers I ever heard." And Srila Govinda Maharaj said, "Then what will you do with those answers?" "Then you must come with me," Gurudev told. "You must come with me. Otherwise, your question and my answer is a waste of your time and a waste of my time. If with those answers you do not come forward and do, come with me." And that Prabhu said, "Oh, I haven't got any money at the moment, I can't come." But that's not what Gurudev meant. He didn't mean like physically You have to come with me. He meant, where I am, you also have to come there. So, you know, then, you know, you have to practice what you've heard. That you have to make that, those teachings, one with your heart. It is not enough just to speak like a parrot to tell these things, but you have to apply them in your life as much as is possible for you. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be perfect immediately. But strive for that. First of all, we have to understand what is to be known. And when we understand what is to be known, then we must give our attention to cultivate that. And how do we cultivate that? Through these qualities, humility, devotion, selflessness, so many things. There are 20 qualities given here. So we should try to cultivate these things, and when we cultivate these things, then that knowledge will take root within us. And when that knowledge takes root, it will have a transforming effect. And this is what we need. We need some transformation in our life. Otherwise, it's just an armchair philosophy, you know, just something we do when on the sitting in our armchair. Oh yeah, that's very nice, you know, but it is only a theoretical. So we have to go beyond the theoretical and make it transformative. Where we are, we want to go there. So from the darkness, we want to go to the light. From ignorance, we want to go to real knowledge. And from illusion, we want to go to enlightenment. These things are necessary for us. If we want a progressive spiritual life must be progressive. And progress in spiritual life means constant acceptance and elimination. This is Sridhar Maharaj's given this idea to us, that new acceptance and elimination of the old as you progress. Naturally, it'll be like that. So in the philosophical terms, it means thesis, antithesis, synthesis. So first of all, you start with your thesis. This is the proposal. And then, naturally, from your thesis comes the antithesis, the opposite of that. What is against that? Or, you know, that what you find the faults with that thesis. Then when from that comes synthesis, where you find the harmonization, the common ground of both trains of thought. That's synthesis. And then that synthesis becomes your new thesis. Then from there, again, antithesis and again synthesis. So this is, you know, the progressive way of development in spiritual life. What is useful to us today may not be useful to us tomorrow. That means we'll have to examine ourselves and see where am I now and where do I want to go to. And as we progress, there are many different signs. If we study the scripture, we'll see what those signs are, that you are progressing in the right path. Because the peculiar nature of bhakti is that you cannot perceive it within yourself. Srila Guru Maharaj say, if you think that you've got it, then that means you're very far away from it. So, it's a bit of a dichotomy. That if we think we're progressing in spiritual life, then it means we probably aren't progressing, we're probably going in the wrong way. But then what will keep us enthused to carry on? So that's where we have to look, what are the signposts along the way? That I'm going in the right direction. So those scriptures given those things to us to look for, how if we're progressing in the right direction. But as soon as we think that we've got it, then that means we're very far away from that. But we can perceive it in others. Bhakti is something you can perceive in others. And those who are real devotees, they rejoice in that. When they see their brothers and sisters progressing in spiritual life, that causes great joy to them. So, In the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, many of the senior devotees, they came together with Srila Guru Maharaj, and they asked him to speak on their behalf to Saraswati Thakur. And they came and they said, Guru Maharaj, we have something we want to ask you, but we're a little afraid to ask it. Is it okay? Is it all right? Do you think it's all right? And he said, yes, speak frankly and freely. And they told, we've been practicing for very long now, and we don't feel substantially that we've got anything. And Saraswati Thakur said, really? Is your sincere feeling, your true feeling, that after all this time you don't feel substantially that you've got anything? And he said, no. And he said, I'm very happy to hear that. I'm very happy to hear that. Because if you'd said you'd got something, then I'd be troubled by that. But the proof that you actually have got something is that you're still here. You're still here and you're still practicing. What is it that keeps you here and still practicing? And still going forward? So obviously you have something. Some taste is there. You can't do the same thing day in and day out, without hating it. When it's mundane, eventually you must hate it. So spiritual life, we find that the practitioners of spiritual life, they become more and more enthusiastic and more joyful as they practice Krishna consciousness. And it basically is the same thing every day, right? Chanting the same mantra every day, over and over and over, on their beads, the same thing. Singing the same songs, looking at the same deity, reading the same books, all of these things, again and again and again. But the devotees, they're not feeling bored by that. They're feeling enthusiastic by that. Like Srila Govinda Maharaj, he said, from my childhood I knew Bhagavad Gita. And he said, now in my last days, still when I'm reading it, some new light is coming to me from that. Now this is progressive spiritual life, that we are always finding some new life, some new impetus, some new revelation. And acharya means that, actually. The definition of acharya, Srila Sridhar Maharaj is told, acharya means who can give new light and new revelation to the scripture. Living representation, not just some rote repetition of something that they read in the book. So this we should be eager for. To hear something, some new light, some new inspiration. The soul needs its food, and that food is the nectar of Krishna consciousness. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he published every day a newspaper, spiritual newspaper, and the editor of the Amrita Bazaar Patrika, the Bengali newspaper at that time, he came to him and he said, this is amazing that every day you're publishing some new thing about Krishna consciousness. How is it possible? Like every single day. He said, well, you're the editor of a newspaper. Do you ever find that there's nothing to put in your newspaper every day? Some news will be there. Then he said, who's connected with the spiritual reality? Some new revelation must be there every day. It's not that it's stagnant. It's ever new, ever fresh. And so this way we can understand who is connected with the reality, that they're able to represent in newer and newer and more inspiring ways the same thing. It is the most ancient knowledge, but it is applicable today as it was 5,000 years ago and before. And how to make it relevant to today? Those who are inspired by Krishna in the heart, they are able to easily to do that by how they speak and how they live their lives. Both are inspiring to us. Both will push us forward and make us more thirsty, more hungry for Krishna consciousness. So how will it be amazing that every day there's a newspaper from the spiritual world? We should be amazed that every day they find something to put in their rag, their sun and mirror and all of those things.
And
Yeah, it's the same. Actually, that's just the same thing, just regurgitated in a different way. But there's nothing new. You don't pick up the newspaper and go, wow, that's amazing. You know, some, you know, wonderful thing which we've never, no one's ever seen before. They're all looking for that, aren't they? The scoop, right? But it never happens, really. It's always the same story, just about somebody else. So Krishna consciousness, the revelation of spiritual reality, is different to that. It is ever new and ever fresh and ever inspiring. And then we can understand, when we're feeling enthusiasm and inspiration, then we can understand that we're progressing in the right way. And sometimes even the opposite of that can be the truth. Sometimes when we feel that we're stagnating and that we're going backwards, that also can be an impetus to us. It's when we feel indifferent, oh, I don't care whether I'm going backwards or forwards, I'm just not interested anymore. Then that means we're in the wrong place. But when we want, when we feel inspired to go forward, or we feel troubled because we're not feeling inspired to go forward, both are the impetus for our progress in spiritual life. Then we need to take shelter of the Vaishnavas, hear from the Vaishnavas, have the association of the Vaishnavas. That will give us our food, the food for our soul. And here Krishna is saying that those who understand this, they come to me. They come to me. Bhagavad Gita, this is chapter 13. And we'll all end here tonight. Hare Krishna. Join with us next week for chapter 14. Jai Sri Bhagavad Gita Study Group Ki Jai.
Jai.
Shri Krishna Arjuna ki jai,
Harinama
Sankirtan ki jai,
jai.
Nitai Gaura Premanandi.